for a few moments. You have your Bibles. Ask that you would turn to the last book, the Bible, the book of Revelation, second to last chapter, chapter number 21. Very familiar verses of scripture, verse 1 through 7. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. I'll be reading from what the old folks call Old Faithful, King James Version. Amen. Recorded are these words. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. For a few moments, with the help of the good Lord and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to preach from the subject, we are not there yet.
All right.
We're not there yet. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. Walter Scott, this famous writer, postmillennial, or eternal times and events are more fully described in the first 8 verses of our chapter than in any portion of the inspired word. He wrote that when you read these first 7-8 verses, he talks about, John writes in Revelation, he says, it gives you a description of what is going to happen in these 7-8 verses more than anywhere else in the Bible. And when you think about this, my brothers and sisters, John wrote what he saw, because he was instructed by the Holy Spirit to write what he saw while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk about these verses of scripture to enlighten us as we get ready to go into the new year, but we got to realize that we're not there yet. And as we realize that we're not there yet, there are some things that we still have to deal with before we get there. Are y'all gonna pray with me this morning? My voice is a little scratchy this morning, but I hope you stay there with me. Just hang on in there with me. Pray for me if you will. Amen. Can somebody push this morning? Just pray until something happens. I just need a little push. Amen. So I want to talk about two main things that I see in these verses. If you have the outline this morning, you'll be able to follow along with us this morning. First thing we see in the first two verses is the visions of eternity. Look at the visions of eternity. Look at verse number one. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." He gives us three different entities or entities of eternity. This vision of eternity, he says, a new heaven. That's a new celestial. This is not the heaven where God has his home, but this is our sky that he's talking about. Eternity will have a new sky for the earth. Many details of the new heaven and other changes are not given, and so they were not revealed because God hadn't revealed them to him. But he said he saw a new sky, a new heaven. He says, "I see this new heaven or this new sky." But then he also talks about a new creation. So a new celestial and then a new creation. He says, "I see a new earth." He says, "The old earth and all its corruption was burned up." You can also find that in 2 Peter 3:7, 2 Peter 3:10, 2 Peter 3:11. I don't really have time this morning to go deep in detail about it, but man has corrupted the earth, and you see it right now. Matter of fact, on Christmas Day, somebody messed around and took a bomb and blew up downtown Nashville. That's just how corrupt we are in this world. And this corrupt earth, that it was so corrupted that it wasn't ready for what God had in store, so it had to be burned up. Amen. And it was different. So what he saw was a great difference in the new earth from the old earth. And notice the fact that he said that there was no more sea. That's a difference, because this world is made of 3/4 water. But when he saw the new earth, it was different from the old earth, because he says in the new earth, there was no more sea. You got to look at the difference between the two visions of what John is describing. But then not only do we see a new celestial, which is a new heaven, not only he sees a new creation, which is the new earth, but he also says, "I see a new city."
All right.
Are y'all praying with me? He says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem." This is introductory as a new Jerusalem, which will be described in this chapter. If you continue to read Revelation 21, he talks about how that new city would be described, and it tells you all the dimensions of the city. But he says, "I see this new city coming out of heaven," and anything that comes out of heaven got to be good. Are y'all praying with me? He begins to talk about this new city. He even talks about, he says, "Where is this city coming from?" This city is coming from heaven. But he also talks about the splendor of the city. He says, "This city was so beautiful, it looks like a bride adorned for her husband." And anybody know about a bride that's getting ready for her husband as she's preparing and she's coming down the aisle? That's one of the days that she makes sure that she's ready. She's all dressed up. She spent time and hours and weeks and months preparing for this day. And on that day, she gets ready, and then everybody stands up. And there even a song, "Here comes the bride." Yeah. He says when he seen the city, it pictures the beauty. The beauty of this city is recorded in the last 2/3 of the chapter. It tells you how the streets are paved with gold. You can read it a little later on. You'll see how beautiful this city is, just like that gorgeous bride coming down the aisle. He says, I saw the new city. That was the vision. But then what I like about it, my brothers and sisters, when we realize about the visions of eternity, he talked about the voices. He says, not only did I see some stuff, he said, but I heard some stuff. Uh-huh. That's what I like about it. He said, I heard some stuff too. Look at verse number 3. This is the voices. Second point, the voices about eternity. The voices about eternity. He says in verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That is good news right there. That's shouting news. I don't know about you, but that's shouting news for me, because when God is with me, I don't have to worry about anything else. So he talks about it. Number one, I see that there's a mega voice. Because he said, I heard a great, the word great is mega, as in like a megaphone. The voice had a great significance, because he says, I heard it, and I heard it clearly. It wasn't something that he was confused about, but he heard it clearly. He says, I heard this, and this was the announcement about the presence of God. He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will what? Dwell. In other words, he's going to reside with us. He will dwell with them. This eternal bliss of God's people is that God will be with us. He will be with us, which means that you won't be separated from God anymore.
Right.
So he talks about the announcement of God's presence with us. But then not only does he announce the presence, but he also announced the pity. Oh my God, right here. This is where people always shout, they fall out. When you learn about the pity of God, what are you talking about, preacher? Read verse number 4. It says, and God shall what? He'll wipe all the tears from your eye. Why is God wiping tears from your eye? Because he has pity on you, because he realized all the stuff that you've been through. And if anybody had some tears, 2020 will make you cry. All the stuff that you done been through in 2020, it is enough to make you cry. There's been some days that you had to cry in 2020, but there was a mega voice that John heard that says the tabernacle of God will be with you, and God will have pity on you, and he says he will cause you to have no more tears. He says, because he'll wipe all the tears from your eyes. And he says, when we get there, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more what? Sorrow. Are y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? There'll be no more crying. He says, after he wiped your tears, you won't even cry no more. He says, there'll be no more pain. Anybody had any pain this year? He says, there'll be no more pain. And you don't have to worry about it. He says, because the former things will be passed away. That's good news right there. He says, because God has let you know that I'm with you. And when God is with you, you don't have to worry about the other stuff, because you've been longing for him, but now you got him. Amen. So that is that mega voice that he heard. But not only did he have a mega voice, but there's also a monarch voice. Look at the monarch voice. It says in verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, he sat upon the throne. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Anytime it talks about somebody sitting on a throne, that is the words of a king. That's kingly talk. That's a monarch. He is that of a king, not of a judge, but the one that sit on the great white throne of judgment. And he talks about, behold, I make all things new. He's talking about creation. He says, I'm going to start this thing all over again. You don't have to worry about it, because where you're going to, things going to be all over again. That's why every year it starts all over again. If we make it to 2021, we don't have to worry about 2020, because 2021 is a new year. Stop worrying about 2020 when we get to 2021, because it's a new year. All things have passed away. 2020 is gone. I don't hear people talking about 2019. Why? Because we're in 2020. When we get to 2021, forget 2020. We're in a new year. He talks about creation. Then he talks about communication. He says these words are faithful and true. And anytime God says something to you, you can count that as being faithful and true. When God speaks, you ought to trust it. Then not only Brother Fred does, he talks about it being communication, but he talks about completion. Look what he says. He said in verse 6, said unto me, it's done. When God says it's done, it is done. Why? Why did he say it's done? Because he's the Christ. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He talks about these things, about being the one that has it from the start until the end. He's going to be the one that completes it all. He is the Christ. He's the one that can do anything but fail. Not only do I see that, he speaks about craving. He says, I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. You remember when he talked to the woman at the well, he says, you're going to keep coming to this well.
That's right.
But what I'm getting ready to give you, you'll never thirst again. He says, I'm going to give this to you freely. Why? Because I'm with you. And that's the good thing about our God, is that when he's with you, he gives it to you freely. And last thing that I want to say to you before I really get to soaring this morning is that he talks about consecration. Look at this last part. In verse number 7, he talks about consecration. He says, he that overcometh shall inherit what? All things. And I like that he puts the conjunction right there. Not only shall you inherit all things, but he put and in there. He says, and I will what?
Be his God.
Be his God. What? And I like that right there. And what? He shall be my son. God is letting us know, that's consecration right there, my brothers and sisters. He says that he that overcometh the world shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. He promised you a fortune. The fortune is you're going to inherit all things. That's your fortune. And you can't even compute how much you're going to get. Somebody needed to hear that today, because you've been scrapping, you've been scraping, you've been struggling, you've been striving, trying to figure out how you're going to get by. You've been trying to see, how am I going to make it? You've been waiting on a stimulus.
All right.
But God has already promised you a fortune.
Come on.
And you've been worrying about a stimulus, but God says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God has already promised you a fortune, and you still worrying about the stimulus. Let me help somebody up in here today. Listen to me closely. You got to look dead in my eyes and understand what I'm saying. He says, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's trying to talk directly to you, but you got to stop putting your trust in man and put your trust in God.
Amen.
Not only does he promise you a fortune, this is going to bless somebody right here. I already feel it in my spirit. He didn't only promise you a fortune, he promised you a family. See, because some people lost some family along the way, but God says, I promise you a family. He says, not only will I give you a fortune, look at the verse. He says, you will inherit all things. I will be your God and you will be my son. In other words, you will be my child. He says, you will be a part of the family. And because you are part of the family, I own a cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You have not because you ask not. He said, ask, seek, and knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. What is it that you want? He says, I give you the desires of your heart. If my people, which are called by my name, I wish I had some witnesses up in here. God can give you more than you have room to receive. But we're not there yet. Reverend Percy, we're not there yet. Here we go. As we close off the last Sunday in 2020, and I realize that we're not there yet. But even though we're not there yet, we still got a lot to be thankful for. Help me preach this thing. Heaven, from what we read in God's holy word, is a wonderful, exciting, glorious, joyful, marvelous, blessed, and perfect place. Everything that causes us hardship, loneliness, pain, difficulty, frustration, disappointment, and grief here on earth will all be absent in heaven. Do I have a witness?
All right.
And I believe in heaven, we will have no burdens to bear.
All right.
Yes, I believe in heaven, we will have no obstacles to overcome.
Right.
I believe in heaven, we will have no fears to face.
All right.
In heaven, we will have no doubts to dispel. In heaven, we will have no sorrows to suffer.
All right.
And in heaven, we will have no troubles to torment us.
All right.
Do I have a witness in the house today?
All right.
I believe that in heaven, we will have no critics to contend with.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a wonderful place heaven will be.
Yes, sir.
But the truth of the matter is, Sister Washington, we're not there yet.
All right.
And we need not expect the comforts of home until we get home.
All right.
And we're not home yet.
All right.
And until that happens, there will be burdens to bear.
Uh-huh.
And there will be hardships to endure. Uh-huh. And there will be problems to solve. Yeah. Sister Vicky, there'll be difficulties to experience. And I'll learn there'll be temptations to overcome. And there'll be some crosses I gotta carry. Yeah. There'll be some disappointments I gotta deal with. But soon, I'll get home and all of those troubles will be over.
Yes, sir.
See, none of us know just how glorious heaven will be, but you can be confident that it will be certainly worth whatever you must do or endure to get to your heavenly home. Because I've read in my Bible that in heaven, joys will never cease, and peace will never flee, beauty will never fade, and love will never survive. I've learned that in heaven, disease will never destroy, and Satan will never enter. Is there anybody in the house house today knows that in heaven sin will never be present, but we're not there yet. Do I have a witness? And if you want to get there, you still got to deal with some stuff right here and now. And until we get there, we must continue in the faith. We must pray without ceasing. We must love one another. We got to be faithful to the Lord. We must fulfill our responsibilities. And we must refrain from judging others. And we must lift up the name of Jesus. Do I have a witness? You see, I believe that 2021 will be better than 2020. But we're not there yet. So I got to keep on doing it day by day. And 2020, I believe that tomorrow will be better than today. But I got to keep living today to make it till tomorrow. I wish I had a witness. I need somebody to take a mental picture of what you think heaven will be like. Have you read in your Bible about heaven? Do you wish of the day of when you get there? Because heaven will be far greater than anything you imagine. In heaven, jealousy will never be expressed. Corruption will never be seen. Vulgarity will never be spoken. Anger will never be demonstrated. Confusion will never be experienced. And pride will never be witnessed. But we're not there yet. Do I have a witness? And until that blessed day arrives, it is of great importance that we talk like we ought to talk, that we live like we ought to live, that we go where we ought to go, that we do what we ought to do, that we work like we ought to work, and that we give like we ought to give. And most of all, we ought to worship like we ought to worship. For only then will we truly be prepared for that glorious day to arrive. Because I believe, I said I believe, I believe that heaven's beauty is indescribable, that heaven's music is incomparable, that heaven's inhabitants are innumerable, that heaven's resources are incalculable, that heaven's description is inconceivable, that heaven's atmosphere is impenetrable, that heaven's creator is indisputable. I believe when I get there that heaven will be the place that I've been longing for. Is there anybody in the house today that's waiting for the day to get to heaven? What more can I say that we're not there yet? We may be close, but we're not there yet. We might get there today, but we're not there yet. And until we get there, we got to keep our priorities right. We got to trust in the promises of God. We got to retain our personal integrity. We got to let our light shine for Jesus. We got to extend a helping hand. We got to keep our lamps filled with oil. We don't want to be like the foolish virgins that ran out of oil too soon. And if we want to be ready when the door swing open, let's stay sweet in our soul. No, we're not there yet. But let me tell you something, and please tell somebody else, it can happen at any moment, and you need to be ready. I talked about it last Sunday. Are you ready? If you're not ready, you gotta get ready. And when you get ready, you gotta stay ready, because you could be getting ready to walk out of your door and the Lord call your number, and the door of the pearly gates are getting ready to swing wide open. And then what are you gonna do? But we're not there yet. But I'm so glad that even though I'm not there, I'm on my way. I said I'm on my way. Have you ever taken a trip with some other folk and y'all knew where y'all were going, but somebody kept asking the question, are we there yet? Is there anybody in here ever had that question? It seemed like it's been a long journey and all they want to know is, are we there yet? Well, I got some news for some soldiers that have been on the battlefield for a long time. You've been asking, are we there? Are we there yet? Well, you haven't gotten there yet, but you're getting mighty close. Your steps getting short, your sight getting dim, and the Lord is getting ready to come back. But when you get to your final destination, I want to know, will you be ready? Because John said, I'm so glad that he wrote down what he said. When you get there, the wicked will cease from troubling. The weary will be at rest. Oh, I'm so glad one of these old days I'm gonna put on my white robe. I'm gonna put on my wings. I'm gonna fly away. Ain't he all right? But I'm not there yet. So as long as I'm on these old shores and I got a deal with cancer, I got a deal with diabetes, I got a deal with high blood pressure, I got a deal with sin, I got a deal with temptation, I got a deal with COVID-19, I got a deal with all the sickness that's around me. I know one of these old days,
yes, sir.
I said one of these old days, one of these old days, he told me he's gonna wipe all the tears from my eyes. So guess what, y'all? I've been practicing how to cry. I cry myself to sleep sometimes, because one day I won't have any more tears. So I use everything that I got. I let him know how I hurt. Is there anybody in here that talked to the Lord and say, Daddy, I'm hurting. Daddy is hard. But guess what? He comes to see about his child and he say, cry your little self to sleep. But soon, I want to tell somebody, soon or later, he's going to raise you up, and the troubles of this world, all the backbiting, all the lying, all the pushing you down, all the saying you were no good, your daddy is going to come get you. And he said, come a little higher, I'll make you ruler. I'll make you ruler over much more. So deal with the trouble right now, because that sickness, that disease, that heartache, that hurt, it won't compare to your mansion. It won't compare to your glory. But you're not there yet. So let me tell you what you gotta do. Two words. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. It'll be, I said it'll be all right. I said it'll be all right. If you know it'll be all right, say yes. Say yes. Ah, yes. there yet. But one day, just like we cross from 1 year into the next year, we're gonna cross from this side to eternity. And these troubles of the world will be over. God bless you. And may God keep you. Is our prayer. We offer an invitation at this time. Maybe you haven't accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, and we want to extend that invitation. The invitation was extended a long time ago, over 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary. Christ died while you were yet in your sins.
That's right.
Bore our sins on a cross. Prayed a prayer, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Completed a prayer by saying, it is finished. Hung his head and gave up the ghost by saying, into your hands I commend my spirit. Went down into the pit, lived in the borrowed tomb, conquered death, hell, and the grave. 3 days later, rose up with all power in his hands, walked upon the earth again 40 days, and rose on a prince and cloud, and says, I'll go back to my Father, but I will return. And so we offer that invitation to you. Whosoever will, let him come.
All right.
No matter what you've done in your life, he still wants you. There's room at the cross for you.
Hey.
Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Right. Thank you.
God bless you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. We pray that you have been pleased with our worship service on today. We realize if you're not pleased, our coming here was in vain. We also pray that someone have heard, received, and accepted this word and have accepted you as their personal Savior. So we pray for them right now, God, that you would protect them, cover them, shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger. And then, God, once again, we lift up all those that are hurting, those that are still troubled by this pandemic. We pray for those that may have been injured and those that have lost property and even businesses to the senseless acts of violence that happened on Christmas Day in Nashville. We pray that you would heal this land and country.
That's right.
We'll continue to pray for those that are struggling at this time, who reminisce on family members that's gone by. It's always hard. But we know that you provide comfort that no words that we can say on this side could ever do. Bless right now. Pray for the people's family.
Yes.
Be with them at this most difficult hour.
Yes. Please,
Reverend Sam, mm-hmm. and his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Give them what they need.
Please, John.
And many others, oh God.
Yes.
We thank you, God, that you have blessed Brother Naquan to come home.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
We know that there are many others that you have blessed.
Yes.
But we also know that there are others that are weeping because they did not make it out of the hospital.
Well.
And we would be remiss if we didn't ask for prayer for them.
Yes.
But now, God, we pray for each and every one that's watching and worshiping with us on YouTube, Facebook, and on our church website. Be with them as we go into the new year. Bless them afresh and anew. Give us all what we stand in need of. Thank you for Centerville.
Thank you, God.
Oh God, you've been so good to us.
Yes.
You blessed us in spite of. And we thank you.
Thank you, God.
So now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all God's children said, amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.